Waterloo, Lackawanna, Fairview, Bellevue, Sweet Root, Susquehanna, Lewisburg, Stroudsburg, Gillysburg, Orbisonia, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Wellersburg, Robsonia, Mountaintop, Glen Rock, Flat Rock, Sunbury, St. Mary, Shick, Shanny, Big Shanny, I'm a Danny. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valley fair, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel ever had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been to Belfast, Southmont, Westmont, Womelsdorf, Nordmont, Dormont, Lebanon, Hummelsdorf, Cedar Springs, Boyne Springs, Chess Springs, Centerbridge, Centersport, Leesport, Williamsport, Brackenridge, Lumber City, Central City, Lake City, Clearfield, Westfield, Whitfield, Richfield, Big Deal. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I crossed the valley fair, man. I made the mountain air, man. Travel ever had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Deputy Secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection to change as pollution prevention compliance assistant, change the culture.
You know, your CD is a little bit like the Game of Thrones series, you know, like I've read the first two books. I haven't gotten to 3, 4, and 5, and you're working on chapter 6.
You're so sweet.
I mean, seriously, there's a lot, you know, I need like a cast of characters in the back. We are recording now. Is this recording? This is kind of our beginning. This will, somewhere in here will be the soft open, but I'm here with Stacey Richards, who's a candidate for county commissioner in Union County. This was something we had talked about doing a little while ago. My crazy long list of things got a little long, so I didn't get a chance to rope in Sam. Usually it's a couple of us, so it's more fun. But why don't we just start with a little bit of personal background? I think, Stacey, one of my clearest early memories of being around you and collaborating and cooperating and becoming friends, I mean, obviously it was the Kerry campaign in 2004, and I don't remember. Do you remember being at Zelda's Cafe?
Oh, yes. That's
what do you remember from that?
Well, I remember from that it was a group of people that I couldn't wait to get to know.
Yeah.
I had recently moved back to the area.
Right.
And I love the smarts. I love the commitment. And actually, many of those people at Zelda's have become very good friends, and I've adored working with them in many different ways.
Right. No, that's so true. And it's one of these things that, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this other places, but, you know, sort of engagement and activism like come in waves. And then that, I think, creates certain sets of relationships. So when the next wave comes, that becomes like a coral reef sort of that things build on. Right. So, you know, when people are like, somebody recently was like, well, I don't know, can we get to John Showers? I'm like, I can talk to John Showers. They're like, can you? And I'm like, no, really, honestly, like, just trust me on this, you know? And it was you, me, John Showers, Shelby Radcliffe, Barbara Sundin, B. Spielman, uh-huh. Right? Yeah. I don't know if I'm forgetting somebody. We were kind of the core of those.
Trey.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And now I feel like, yeah, this is really becoming like, I don't mean soap opera, but like, you know, we were a merry, I mean, that's one of the things I think I get excited about in doing community, you know, grassroots organizing, is that sort of band of brothers feeling or hall of justice, you know, like you said, like, you know, I remember you ran that phone bank and you knew so much about running phone banks, and it was in Buzz and Ann's house.
Yep.
And one of the phones was like on an exercise machine because we wanted to fit as many phones as possible into this little apartment. It's like a 2-room apartment, and we squeezed like 14 phone lines in. One was on the toilet, one was on the exercise machine.
Actually, I look back at it now, and I you know, I just can't believe my chutzpah or, you know, thoughtlessness. But one of the things was, if you'll recall, I had a kitchen.
Yep.
But the refrigerator didn't work.
No, I don't remember.
So
that.
I turned to Buzz and Ann, even just as we were, you know, mm-hmm. getting it all together, and you and Trey and others actually installed the phone lines. I remember that. That was terrific. but back to the refrigerator.
Yeah.
I said, geez, Buzz and Ian, your refrigerator doesn't work. We couldn't possibly do a phone bank in the apartment. Darn if they did have a refrigerator in there the next day.
Oh, that's awesome. Those are great stories.
And on all those people, you know, that came in for that, it was... They are good friends. And just to think about the organizations that have grown up since then, City Peltier and, mm-hmm. and FrizAid and the Community mm-hmm. Zone and the Hub and mm-hmm. and just all sorts of organizations.
I mean, the Hub for Progress, in some ways, you know, in my history of it, is going to say that there was a meeting after that 2004 election and it was at the basement of St. Andrew's Church because Jim, we forgot Jim Buck was very involved. Of course, Jim, yeah.
Jeez.
That was quite a superstar team, you know, think about what all these different people have done since then. Yeah, he was a member there, and it was, I know Sam Pearson was there, and we were kind of, it was very similar to the idea of the hub. It was like people from different pieces of the broader left progressive movement. It was like, what do we need? And we talked about the need for a common calendar.
That's right.
And it never quite happened. And when, and you know, 12 years later, when we were talking about the hub, you know, Sam Pearson and I especially were like, you know, you need a common calendar. And for me, one thing is, you know, when I was in my 20s, I ran a program that was basically a school for middle schoolers in the summer called Summer Bridge. And it crystallized for me how much a schedule really shapes a whole environment for like an organization. And, you know, when I was a professor at Bucknell, people would be like, gee, it'd be nice if we can do X, Y, or Z, you know, and get more time for this or that. And I was like, well, change the schedule. You know, the schedule, it literally rules things in the way that rules on a piece of paper, both rules, but also it structures everything. And that's like, you know, because I know you know about organizational cultures, that can be really hard to change. You know, but at a place like a Bucknell or whatever, pick your organization. If you really want to do more of X, Y, Z, you should look at your time allotment. But changing the schedule is really hard.
Well, let me talk a little bit about encountering that.
Yeah,
I
sure.
I started the Energy Resource Center. And our objective was to be able to have our region become a center for.
Now, where was this energy?
This was CETA Council of Governments.
Okay, at CETA COG, yeah.
Yeah, so this was 2004.
Yeah.
And we had nothing here in terms of, you know, smart buildings, mm-hmm. You know, Penn State's agricultural building was the
smart
only
building. Smart buildings, some smart people in them.
I would talk to contractors and say, you know, uh-huh. Do you have the skills to do this, to be able to do the insulation and smart buildings and stuff like that? And they said, a couple of them said yes, but most architects didn't have the certification. And those that said yes said, yeah, but we can't get the demand. We don't have a market. We're really wasting money, mm-hmm. our time and money when we try to ourselves educate. So some people wanted to just do this, and that was, you know, just jump right into it. Let's do renewable energy projects. Let's do this and that. But what was clear to me in terms of changing or creating the schedule was we really needed to learn before we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually I got some help from the former chair of the management department at Bucknell. Oh, geez, I can't remember his name. It was so long ago, but he'd retired. And B. Spielman turned me on to him, said talk to him. And he confirmed and actually added to what I planned on doing. And
yeah.
One was, I think the most successful thing that we did was collective education, mm-hmm. of not just the clients, public and private.
Oh, John Miller?
John Miller,
yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bless his soul.
Yeah, was a mentor for me.
Yeah. So in terms of the schedule, we had to learn before we could do.
Right.
And I had a whole, what I showed John Miller was just a sheet of paper that had a diagram on it of how we were going to hit all these different things. And darned if by the end of 12 years, we hadn't done it all.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't move to renewables until you did something else. But really, the platform, and it was John Miller who said, you want a platform of learning. And I then began to think in mm-hmm. those terms, platform, because I've done a lot of collective education on
right.
all sorts of things.
Right.
And so bringing together collectively both the clients as well as those that could provide the technical assistance, the construction trades,
right.
to meet every month or twice a month at the Country Cupboard, bless
right.
their souls, for a breakfast seminar,
right.
Had everything to do with millions of dollars being saved in this region because people are using less energy.
Right.
What they got collectively was they learned about these new techniques and best practices, the technologies. They connected with each other at these breakfasts, and a ton of things went on because of that that I didn't even have to do
mm-hmm.
In the technical assistance that, and allowed me to focus on a lot on local governments and the nonprofit while the business just went off and did what they wanted to do. But architects got the certification, construction trades really made sure that they were up to speed and were offering things. But it really took off. And I really appreciate that we changed the schedule.
Right.
So thanks. That's,
yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely, that's interesting. So you know, let's jump forward a little bit to your, you know, what went through your mind when you were like, okay, you know, I'm going to throw my ring into the hat for county commissioner. Had you run for office before? I just don't know.
I've certainly helped plenty of people run for office.
That I know.
And I've certainly helped a lot of elected officials.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, it was a Republican.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful Republican who turned to me when we first heard that John was considering retiring,
right,
and said, "Stacy, you need to run."
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, I don't think so."
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it for about 48 hours and thought, I should run.
Yeah.
I really have enjoyed being here in this county. I returned because of friends. I always came back here in the years that I was away. It was fantastic to have the Kerry campaign in which to make new friends and meet, mm-hmm, new people.
Right.
And I really thought, well, who else could do this as well as I could do it?
Right.
And I couldn't come up with anybody. I could come up with plenty of people who could do it probably as well.
Right.
But to be up there and thinking, I've got the skills to do this. I have the knowledge about the region, having worked every day with people. I didn't know everything.
Yeah.
And I am not somebody who's been here for 200 years. You know?
Well, you know, we talked about that a little bit before we were recording. And, you know, that is a dynamic, you know, in this area. Like I personally, you know, I haven't had a chance to check this, but I think this is one of the most stable areas in the United States in terms of population over time. Like, people do not move out of this area. You know, my little anecdote about this is, for like the first 8 years I lived here, I'd stop by the Dunkin' Donuts more than I should have. And for like 8 years, there was no turnover in the counter staff. I mean, that's probably like the only Dunkin' Donuts in the world where that's true. You know, just the nature of what it is and people. But I mean, it was just like, wow. And Carl Mulawski, who's, you know, Carl,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of confirmed this a little bit for me too. I think upstate New York and this part of Pennsylvania, I don't know what it is. Like, I really, this is on my project to do a little bit more research, if it's a little bit sociology and history, or, you know, the other piece that relates to the county thing is just the extent of fragmentation of governance. Like, I don't know how that would relate to the stability of the population, but, and I'm really tangentially bouncing around things here, but you know what I mean about the fragmentation thing, right? In Pennsylvania. I mean, because you worked in other states. Okay. So, I mean, first of all, like, where I grew up in Tennessee, any land that wasn't part of a city was just the county's land. We didn't have all these townships.
Okay.
So that means, right, like, if you want to do anything in Pennsylvania, starting kind of aggregating up from the grassroots level, you're constantly going to bump into trying to build these collaborative mechanisms. I mean, I look at Pennsylvania, I look at intermediate unions for the school districts and the COGS. And this is where maybe you can educate me. Like, I look at those and I just infer from what I see as a sociologist, those exist because the fundamental governmental structures create too much fragmentation and there's a need for these kinds of things that bridge those boundaries.
There are. And, you know,
and I don't know if other states really have them.
I lived in Massachusetts for many years and there they didn't have counties.
Oh.
They only had municipalities. So
interesting.
For the work that I was doing, I was very used to working with municipalities, either one-on-one or them ganging up on or deciding themselves. But often it was the municipalities that were the very last place to go to get your permit. And for whatever you were working on,
right,
at the time I was working on a massive transportation project.
Right.
So drawing them in early into the process so that they didn't say no, you know, at the very end, was critically important. And I guess I've always worked that way. To be inclusive and be collaborative,
mm-hmm,
and be thinking about who thinks they would benefit and,
right,
who thinks they might be harmed.
Right.
And then who are all the people that don't know, have no awareness about it at all, but should and could.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you start. And
that's
one of the things I really like about this region,
mm-hmm,
is that even though people haven't moved, they do know how to partner and they do know how to collaborate.
Yeah, until until they don't. Let's talk about East Buffalo and Lewisburg. But so I hear you. Like, on the one hand, you know, we can tell a story about how people collectively learn over time to value those kinds of behaviors, because it's not enough. Like governing and governance is often, I think, in reality, about doing some of those things, building those kinds of relationships. And if people see it when they interact with CEDACOG, and then it spills over and they relearn like those kinds of patterns when they're organizing, you know, the parade or whatever, like that's effective, but it's also very vulnerable. I'm just saying, yeah, you know, from the Lewisburg East Buffalo perspective, to new people saying, well, we just don't like that. And then now we have very little leverage to deal with that. And it's all in the space of like, well, you're a good neighbor, you're not a good neighbor. You know, it's very he said, she said, because the original, like I've said that the police IGA, and then we'll get off of this, but it does have some problems with clarity. And so if you weren't all in the same headspace collectively or platform, to use your term, of what we understand about it, it's easy for people to think it says something different. So anyway.
It is. And you know, it's really, trust is really important. And that turnover really can create some chaos. You know, to come back here and land and see the Council of Governments, which I think most people have no idea really what it does in its totality.
Yeah, maybe you should just take 30 seconds and do a plug. Do you mind?
I don't at all. But the problem is, can you do it in 30 seconds? But I think the key to it is, it's the only organization that I know of that represents everybody. Its mm-hmm. clients are residents, the public, the private sector. It does a myriad of things, from transportation to weatherization to housing to small business loans and then the Energy Resource Center. But its structure is that it's made up of 11 counties, and each of those counties appoints one of its three commissioners to serve on the CEDACOG board. And then each county gets to select someone. It could be a mayor or a supervisor or, you know, a banker or whatever, to also be the second person representing that particular county. So you've got 22.
So people. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And it was fantastic because from that perch of an 11-county region, the board of directors meetings were just stunningly important, where apparently for years before I got there, and I think the CEDACOG started in the 70s, there was great stability on the part of the county commissioners. Mm-hmm. For years and years and years, they had served there in their positions. But soon after I got here, the Tea Party rise mm-hmm. caused commissioners, even particularly Republican commissioners, to lose their seats in the primary.
Interesting.
So that most of the time that I was there, the executive director was attempting to bring the unity and bring the people up to how this works. So that was fascinating.
So is it correct that they brought maybe a kind of ideology that they got from Tea Party thinking and they tried to bring it to local government?
It was some of that. But I would say that mostly what it was is that they didn't know how to work together. Not only did they not have particularly the governance experience, but they didn't understand that this organization worked as a unit, that there were ideas that perked up that people thought that was just in their backyard. But the reality was that every county was experiencing it. And so if you didn't talk about it, then probably over time, then you weren't going to do anything about it in a systemic way.
Yeah.
So the coolest thing for me at CEDACOG was that not only were we working with everybody, but I was able to identify from that perch what was something that could be solved systemically.
Yeah.
And what was really unique to just every local government, for example, or a business. And I think all of us on staff there, particularly the senior managers, understood the knowledge that we had and perspective that we had, and a lot of the things that we did that are done at CEDACOG are done to be able to very cost effectively but systemically decide how problems can be solved.
But like, let's just pause there for a second, because we haven't done any research on sort of the Tea Party, so we're both going to be relying on our memory. But let me put it this way: I think that systemic and Tea Party, just as sort of thought systems,
are oxymorons.
They don't play well together, right? In other words, in my memory, like if I'm elected to county commissioner, I'm trying to put my
my scene there. And I'm coming on this sort of Tea Party firebrand populism. I mean, to me, the Tea Party was totally an expression of, and I'm also talking about sort of its initial thing as opposed to over time, I think, you know, it's pretty clear it got co-opted by the normal Republican Party. But in its origins, it was this, the world is on fire. The Great Recession has destroyed things and government is the problem. And so if I get elected at the local level, you know, and I really believe that, but then, well, I don't know if you want to go with that. I mean, because you did respond when I said systemic and Tea Party seem like they're like at odds a bit. And I'm not trying to belittle at all. I'm trying to sort of dig in and understand where you're coming from. I mean, maybe I should answer my own question, but you take a crack for it.
I didn't grow up here, but yeah. I grew up in Mercer County, which is just so similar.
And Mercer County? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about Mercer County in just a sec.
You do. Mm-hmm. And Mercer County holds Grove City College, one of the most conservative colleges in the country. Grove City College.
Ah.
They were the ones that...
I think Union County is San Francisco compared to Mercer County. Seriously. I mean, from what I've heard.
Yeah, my dad was a Roman veterinarian, and so I probably...
Really?
All the time.
So you're like in All Creatures Big and Small.
Actually, my dad wrote a great book.
Awesome.
Yeah, he started it as a biography for his family to be able to have his grandchildren understand what life was like and gave it to us at Christmas time. And I said, Dad, you've got to turn this into a book.
And it got published?
It got published.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But I was with them all the time. And so it's very similar to Union County with the agriculture. I was witness to so many conversations that my father had with small dairy farmers. Always there was husbandry there associated with it. But I'm sorry to digress, but this is really funny.
Digression is our motto.
My dad, in one of the stories of his books, and he would tell this to us. I was too young to remember this happening to him because it was back in maybe about the time I was born. But the stills back in the woods, I mean, this is Appalachia in Mercer County.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a farmer. Apparently an Italian farmer that Dad would buy our turkeys from and other produce because they were just so well, they were so good.
Right.
And it ends up that he was going to be at his place that day when he read in the paper that the night before the revenue guys had come in and smashed the largest still in Pennsylvania on his
land. Wow.
So Dad goes there this wonderful man just had his head in his hands and was crying. He says, it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And actually the house, the farmhouse, he didn't live in. It was all of it was a still. And he lived in a little trailer in the back. So Dad just encountered a bunch of things. But I bring it up because also at that time, strip mining was a big deal. And it didn't happen here as much as it happened in Western PA. And even my father needed to determine the land that he had for what was being offered to him. You know, could it pay for some of his kids' education?
Right.
So we saw the strip mines. I was in the car with them and traveling around as we saw strip mining begin to replace the farming and the promises made by the strip mining firms to repair the land and bring it back and the roads and whatnot. And instead, they declared bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, just like here in Union County, there's a love of the land. There's a love of we can work this out. So much changed while I was young. Even though people live in the same place doesn't mean they don't experience change.
Right.
And how one adapts to that, the Tea Party is interesting, I think, because I think that it's strong here. And I think whether you're Tea Party or not, because so many people don't move, they have deep roots and wide roots here.
Right.
And it's a great culture, just like it was in Western Pennsylvania, of you can rely on your neighbor.
Right.
But there's some things that you can't rely on your neighbor for and really do require the common good. And the common good, when you get a little bit bigger, is going to require likely government. And how do you pull the resources? How do you pull the people together? How do you do public-private partnerships? That's all extremely important to any community.
I think you said exactly what was in my mind is that that our individual problems are going to need the ability to understand systemic things and to be able to think both about the systemic and the individual at the same time. And it's not that people who got really fired up about the Tea Party thing, I'm sure that they can understand that and often do when they've been applying it to their own solutions, like in their local area. But to me personally, I'm just kind of riffing this, but, you know, Reagan said government's the problem. And he sort of meant that, I think, you know, I mean, he meant it, but it was also a bit of a tactic. But the Tea Party was like the distillation, to go back to your still, it was like the pure distillation of that sentiment divorced from any other understandings, right? So when people kind of imagine a more bipartisan era back in the day, blah, 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 you know, part of that was World War II and the Cold War brought Democrats and Republicans together. And at some level, they all understood that they could fight about some things within the parameters of we need to have some common goods. And so me personally, I think sometimes now when people are like, well, there's so much hyper-partisanship, in a way, what we mean is we can't even agree on what the common goods are.
That's true. But I think in many ways we have. I'm on the board of Transitions,
right,
and for many years, and it has really grown. But again, that goes back to that started out as something that was very
important. Damn, you're good at pivoting. That was like A level. You know, maybe you're running for county commissioner, but your pivots are like NBA. I mean, that was...
I have a tendency to talk about what I want to talk about, but it doesn't always... it's not always the right thing to talk about.
Look, usually my pivots are, now we're going to talk about this.
but
go ahead, transition.
It was just that I was attending the Community Action Agency's Big Gala a couple months ago. And
wait, was that the one down at Susquehanna?
That was the one at the Lewisburg Hotel.
Okay.
It's the first one that they've had.
Okay.
And it was a long line to check in, and it just so happened that Sue and John Mathias were right near me. And Sue is the one...
Which, by the way, John Mathias is one of the outgoing commissioners.
I know.
For the listener,
knowledge and incompetence. Sue also was one of the people that started Transitions.
Right.
And Transitions is the organization...
I didn't realize Sue had, because her sister-in-law is now the executive director.
I know.
Those Mathiases.
But again, going back to, you know, your arrival on the scene, and about the time that we were doing the Kerry campaign, Sue was saying, hey, Stace, you know, why don't you think about joining Transitions? Well, I was really busy starting this new organization at the Energy Resource Center. So it took me a couple of years, but it's grown so much. And Sue and I began to talk while we were waiting in line, this long line to get into the gala event. The New Yorker had just come out with an article about an organization like Transitions in New York City and talked about how it began. And Sue said, have you read that? Because, man, that is just how it happened here. And it was at the time of feminism and, you know, the early 1970s.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, very early 1970s where women felt like you don't need any structure. You know, we're just going to do away with structure and everything's going to be a collective decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fascinating article. So I went home and I had it and I read it and I emailed Sue and said, there's history here. You know, that really, I don't know if it's recorded, but the growth of this, you know, what Susan Mathias has done under her leadership, thanks to the work that so many women did who started around a kitchen table and said, we have domestic violence and sexual assault here, but particularly domestic violence. And they began to take women into their homes to make them safe, which was not a very safe thing for them to do.
Right.
But then it grew.
That goes back to your, you know, you can count on your neighbors.
You can count on your neighbors.
As part of the local culture.
But then it can grow. And so that being on the board now, I mean, it isn't just the safe houses that we have. We understood that after 30 days, it doesn't mean that women and their children are stabilized. They have no place to go often. And so therefore they fall back into the problem. So now housing, now, you know, work needed to be done with the legal system to have policemen understand that domestic violence isn't something just between a couple. And then how
meaning
is it,
what?
Well, that it's okay to beat your wife.
Oh. Sorry.
No, the law doesn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And that was the case until not too long ago. Or even on colleges, that the social system on colleges, such as Bucknell, encourage predators to be hidden and continue for sexual assault. So now there is a network and of of not just the hospitals and the nurses and the policemen and the judges, but also the community action agency and shared housing to get people, men and women, out of bad situations and stabilized so that the kids can be okay. I mean, that all grew out of just simply the women sitting around the table. So we have so much history of that here in this Union County. And I thought, I've got to get to the Union County Historical Society and just spend days reading. And I would bet you not, I'm sure that not every story is told.
For sure. I would like to know more what they've got and what they do. Taylor is a really good nose for one of Taylor's many skills is finding book rarities, especially because I'm wandering on the bookstore. Mm-hmm. He found this 1968 Lewisburg League of Women Voters report on the future of Lewisburg and East Buffalo. It's fascinating. And he told me, so I thought he had bought it. It's still over at Mondragon. I might go scoop it up. But, you know, he said in the 60s, Lewisburg had a nurse that just in the borough staff who was there to help, you know, provide like public health checkups for people at a lower cost. Mm-hmm. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Fascinating. But going even back to feminism and, you know, you've been on the board of the League of Women Voters and you're a member. I mean, it's interesting, such a long organization, which as far as I know, its roots are in deeply radical women's activism, you know, for the vote.
But actually what I learned, and I love this.
Or maybe I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Oh, okay.
You know,
something about the Iron Angels.
There was actually the League was probably the conservative part of it.
Right.
We were not radical.
I see.
That caused a split.
Interesting.
And dissent, you know, and disturbance between the organization. That was news to me. I didn't learn it until I was part of the.
Well, thank you for correcting me on that. In a way, that makes sense with other things. But still, real quick, in the 60s, so this League of Women Voters, I mean, I think of it, even if it's a more conservative branch, it's still broadly in, you know, women's empowerment.
Yeah.
They were all Mrs., you know, John Taylor, Mrs. like.
Give cookbooks, yeah.
Well, their names were, you know, yeah, exactly. Maybe they did cookbooks too. So, I want kind of where we're headed for the wrap up here. But like one of the things is, you know, and this is an example of me holding up my own foibles because I hope it helps other people feel better about theirs. I don't know very well what county government does, you know, and it's like ridiculous given how interested I am in politics and that I'm a local official. So like what are some of the things that people should understand that county government does? Do you know what I mean?
I've been learning it, too.
Yeah.
I've been feeling like I'm a commissioner in training for the last many months since winning the primary.
Yeah.
I have been attending the working sessions, almost all of them.
Okay.
And some of it, I was kind of shocked at what mundane things they did.
Uh-huh.
Personnel.
Right, because there's all these sort of services in the building.
Yeah.
Elections, mapping, water conservation. Okay.
So they have some set things that they do. I mean, it's got to be, you know, some public safety and
public safety, like policing, public safety.
Well,
more like the EMS system and
the EMS system.
Yeah,
and of course, you know, the sheriff's office, although they don't oversee it. But for example, you know, here's a great example of county commissioners really influencing our economics in our county, and that is the decision many years ago in the leadership of President Boop and others of making the decision that instead of building a new jail and a bigger jail, as many counties were doing at the time, instead they put those monies and resources towards a court system that was going to be
a drug court.
Rehabilitate. Yeah. And that has been very successful. That has saved this county so much money because once you build it, you need to fill it.
You know, for sure.
You don't have to.
And as somebody who's generally very pro-union, every time I hear prison unions talk about how we can't close facilities because it'll cost jobs, I'm like, those are not the jobs we should be fighting for, you know. And that, you know, that really curdles my you know, what is supposed to be my good leftist politics.
And yet people were heading there and saw no
way. Northumberland County has had huge problems around this.
Yeah, huge, very expensive. So I think a huge decision also, the Great Streams Commons, while the county commissioners are getting a lot of heat for, geez, fill it. The decision to purchase it in order to avoid
that preempted the hazardous waste, right?
It did, the incinerator.
Right.
And the knowledge is, and I knew this as I was growing up in Western Pennsylvania, Once you have something like that move into your community, it's going to further degrade because nobody wants to be there.
Yeah.
And so therefore, more facilities like that get put there. And it's often in rural parts of America where those things go. So it was brilliant, just like the N-Tire project. Mm-hmm. Remember that, the tire burning?
I was here.
You know, that was really worthwhile for a lot of people,
right,
including, you know, to a greater or lesser extent, the county commissioners.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was kind of a local thing.
Yeah.
So, yes, there are some things in terms of administration that the county commissioners do.
Yeah.
But the opportunity is in the indirect things that they do and the influences that they have, being able to not only support different plates spinning,
right,
the organizations that are out there, you know, fostering the rail trail.
Like, if we were to look at their budget, would that help us see where a lot of the expenditures go? Because is some amount of their budget also administering state monies?
Well,
like housing or...
Well, the housing authority is separate. So
yeah,
what the county would get involved in is they will have an appointment or two to the authority. But other than that, it's pretty hands-off.
Okay, but do you know, I mean, I didn't mean to like quiz you, but do you know, like in general, like with you know, I always say, you know, budget is a moral document. Like what kinds of things is the county, because it's revenue, it's clearly I know nothing. Where does the county revenue come from? Is this part of our property taxes? County?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the majority of our property taxes goes to the school district.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, count, some of it is.
Okay.
Some of it is from revenues that,
right,
are federal or state and passed down.
Oh.
But increasingly.
Like liquid fuels or.
Like liquid fuels or some PennDOT monies to fix bridges or.
Right.
The conservation,
mm-hmm,
program.
Right.
Carefully thought about, or even for the court systems. But those unfunded mandates that are now constant are a real problem for,
yeah,
the county commissioners.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I was told is it's going to be the hardest thing, Stace, is going to be saying no financially because everybody needs some money in order to do this and such, which is why I think that these public-private partnerships are so important,
mm-hmm,
the work that we've been doing. But back here's a pivot for,
yeah,
you. I was in Washington, D.C.
Hey, thank you. They're so fast. I need you to do your own color commentary.
I was head of government affairs for the association that represented the owners of architect engineering firms. So we got involved in everything. And I was hired because they felt that they were so conservative, they needed to get a little balance there. But it was when Reagan was elected and there was a slashing of the budget and Congress really had nothing to do but do oversight, that I realized that the challenges were really at the state and local level and were going to be for the rest of my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I went and got a master's in public administration. I focused on local and state government finance, and I returned.
Sexy topic.
Yeah.
Local and state government finance.
It was, you know, it was one of those things I'd learned a long time ago, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
So the decisions that the county commissioners make or the facilitation and the grants that they administer on behalf of the organizations within the county.
Right.
Or adding their blessing to a grant to go forward with the state for funding that has nothing to do with them and actually the services will be done by others. Those are important decisions.
Right.
So I just felt like, you know, I go back. Here I go. Pivot again. I go back to your question of why'd you run?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yes, I did energy, but
mm-hmm,
that's what CEDACOG wanted and that's what the region wanted. But my background is so diverse that it would be just wonderful to bring back for the last years of my career something broader, being able to use that knowledge, being able to do it in a different way. It was just the right thing to do.
Vote for Stacey. She has the best energy to make good energy choices. That's terrible. That is so cheesy.
I haven't come up with a good slogan other than, you know, if you want, you know, experience matters. Being able to have things work matter. Being able to get along with people matters. At the local level, so little of the decisions are really partisan.
It's been used, but there's no shame in that. We all do better when we all do better. Is a way to say yes. The cooperation matters,
which is even better than you're only as good as the weak, only as strong as the weakest link.
Yeah.
And I think that there's some things like, I know you want to wrap it up, but let's go on.
No, I was
longer,
concerned okay? about your time.
You know, the,
I've been known to go hours on the podcast.
it was really clear at Seed O'Clock a long time ago and was discussed and there was good staff working on this, but this is, broadband.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal in yep. our region, you know, attracting some mm-hmm. of the best and brightest to this region is right. hard to do. So, and not only that, what I found, and I would have to complain to agencies about it, we have so many local governments that are on dial-up that more and more the communication is a two-way street.
Dial-up.
Huh. Yeah, when I did an energy reduction project in New Berlin and the energy auditors went in there to do energy audits of homes, they had to step out of New Berlin in order to download the report to be able to give to, come on.
No, that company in New Berlin that makes surfboards or skateboards
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
I heard a story that maybe, I think it's better now, but for a little while, they would come up here to the Barnes & Noble to upload their report.
Yes. I mean, this really happens in a large part of our region. So the county commissioners, Union County commissioners, they won't finish this. It'll be the new commissioners that will mm-hmm. finish this. But they invested in a study to find out where it isn't. And then, also what could you do about it? And they've got a good plan. And they will take some funding to be able to build the infrastructure for it,
right.
which are a couple of towers.
Right.
Of which you can, we now call that local real estate or vertical real estate.
Mm-hmm.
But then it'll be up to providers, and some are interested, to be able to put their technology on those towers and then be able to provide the services to places that they currently serve.
I mean, I don't know where it is now, but, we dealt with this in the borough with Verizon and the other telecoms wanting to put in the 5G, I think,
mm-hmm.
Antennas. Do you know about this?
I don't know.
So basically, this is my understanding. they came along a year or two ago and they're like, we want to do this. We have the vertical real estate the borough does with like our lamp posts and some other things, and they were saying, making the numbers up a little bit, they were like, we'll pay $1,000 a year or something that would be a pretty good revenue stream. Do you want to sign this? I'm like, let's think about it. Then we find out they offered this to a lot of municipalities. Then here I'm inferring, but I'm probably right. They leaned on the FCC. I think it was federal. They leaned on the FCC and got a rule passed that said that municipalities can't charge more than like $10. I mean, it was like multiple factors of 10. And the language was all about, we need to be protected from these rapacious municipalities that will act like monopolies. I mean, it was like such a classic like projection of economic emotional abuse, onto what, in other words, they're being rapacious and they're saying that we are. In borough council, I mean, you get so busy with the tunnel vision, you're like, you get, and you have your solicitor like, well, I guess you don't have a choice. I'm like, I feel like so much normal governance just does so much to like reinforce elite power in the United States generally and sort of, oligarchy, I'm going to say. And, I'm busy figuring out like, what do we do about the leaves or whatever,
Sorry to bring it up, a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
A Christmas light.
Yeah. So, I don't know where I was going with that, except to say that, with some of these, that it is important to, to be able to, overcome that fragmentation, kind of like what you were saying with the thing with, I think it was the energy thing, bringing people together. But, I don't know who a lot of the supervisors are in other municipalities or in my county or, if Selins Grove, Sunbury, Milton, and Lewisburg, all got together and said, what's going on with these towers, right? I know there's some people at the state level have been trying to fight it, but, there's so little. Like, we don't even know what common issues we face, and there's not a lot of incentives immediately to like reach out and do that because we're so busy with our internal structures. So
it's very hard to know it all. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to know it.
Yeah, totally.
But I do have a good head start having worked
right.
at CEDACOG. And then, fiber optics, that's expensive.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We need to be looking at microwave and radio
yeah.
and on towers.
But when I worked in Boston on that massive transportation project, which we didn't talk about and we don't need to talk about, one of the first things I worked on was the utility saying, we would, while you're opening up this ground to put a tunnel underneath Boston and you're rearranging all of the utilities, could we lay fiber optic?
Right.
And it wired New England for the next century.
Yep.
It was very important. But we have, and I've learned this at a commissioner working session, we have something called Kimber, which is fiber optics, which runs down Route 15.
I
and that's
about this.
A collaboration at the state level of the universities and the hospitals.
Yeah.
And you have to pay for it. I mean, maybe you should. But even the discussions about where do you link in there, having to learn it, about what works, what doesn't work, not having to get forced into signing a contract that somebody might change.
Yeah.
But, you know, for example, what I'm aware of, but probably most people aren't, is that there's a huge war going on between the big utilities and their customers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all about who is going to own the solar. And it's a fight that the utilities and the big solar development companies are spending millions of dollars on advertising to have you think that, you know, they're the best. When in reality, it's individuals and farms and houses and organizations owning it and using it themselves. So there's so many things that so many people know. And I tell you, the world is changing so fast, you know, so fast from technologies to climate and weather and everything that I think part of the challenge for the commissioners and probably always has been. How in the world can you know enough and anticipate enough that you can be communicating it to communities that probably don't even want to hear about it?
Right.
Because who are the counties to tell them what to do?
Yeah.
But more importantly, engage whoever needs to be engaged collectively to be able to make some decisions about what they want.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what excites me the most. I know that I'm not going to be able to do anything. But if I can just do a couple of things that are important to our county and allow us to really prosper, I'd love to do it.
All right. Okay. Last thought. Like, what's been sort of a favorite, you know, either something you've learned while campaigning that you didn't know or some, you know, a fun moment, you know? You had a lot of fair food. That's the question you usually ask people running for president.
Well, I should admit this, but I'd never been to the West End Fair. Well, no, that's not true. I was there before I announced that I was going to run. What's the most fun thing? Oh, geez, I'm not sure I can do that. What I did, you know, I did visit everyone. I was at least one municipal council meeting.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't find it. One night I was going to Lewis and I had the wrong address and I wandered around forever, but I never got there. But
fragmentation.
I reached others. Yeah.
Because I think, well, how many townships and boroughs are there in Union County? Like, I should know, but 15, 17, something like that?
No, it's more than that.
It's more than that. In a county of 40.
No, the precincts are more than that.
The precincts are more, but, you know.
I didn't count, but I also went to school board meetings and others.
So we've got two school boards, something like four boroughs and 12 or 14 townships. You know, it's in that ballpark.
But what was interesting, because I wouldn't just go there and introduce myself, but I'd stay.
Yeah.
Some of it was the issues that each of these boards was addressing.
Right.
And a lot of it was about roads and infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found most intriguing were the dynamics and how the meetings were run and whether or not the public was there. And the public that was there seemed to attend all of them.
Really?
Yeah. Or a lot of them, which is great. I mean, I would pay attention to and really be elated when there were a lot of people that attended these meetings. So they're dealing with, I mean, and I thought, how in the world on this part-time job, because all the supervisors have full-time jobs and maybe all the borough council members have full-time jobs too, how could they possibly be able to know what's coming down the pike? From the solar farms, you know, how do you pass a solar ordinance that can anticipate the future and understand the dynamics of the economics that are going on? I'm not going to be able to tell them, but if I could be influencing some education and being able to match up people who do know and have people understand as a community, as opposed as to an individual private owner, private property owner, or even those farmers that would really like to have the extra income and want to lease their land to these big solar farms. Usually the leases are terrible. Mm-hmm. They're presented by the developer. They're not in the interest of the farmers. And so how can we get the very best education for those farmers that decide to go ahead with
it? You know, it's this kind of thing.
All things to work on.
If you're not ordering from the menu, you're probably on the menu. Right? That's what we're talking about.
You're so good at slogans. You really are.
I borrowed that from someone else. But, you know, as you're talking, I was sort of fantasizing that, like, you know, maybe we, you know, this is the beginning of something like, I didn't want to say just solar, because I think the kernel of what you're talking about is people being able to control more of their destiny, you know, and that's what freedom is about. And things that our side gets labeled as being against freedom, right? Like trying to address healthcare. I mean, often for us, it's like, you don't actually have the freedom, right, to sort of control your health, like in our current system. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to say is, around this issue, imagine we had Union County, like Homestead was what popped into my head, but sort of the Union County Homestead, like, you know, council discussion group, but to like bring different people together, solar could be a big one, but even the current electricity deregulation, you know, I don't understand it very well. You know, and like, what are your options to like sell back? But like just in general, like with the infrastructure of broadband, what I'm trying to get is, you know, the household can be more and more a unit of production in a way it was in the 18th and 17th century and hasn't been up through the 20th century because the whole economy turned each household into consumers and nothing else. But, you know, all kinds of people are interested in how they can grow and preserve food. And then, see what I'm saying? So the solar layers into that. So it's a way to talk about this kind of self-sufficiency that I feel like kind of dissolves the typical left-right and would appeal to all kinds of people, right?
Without a doubt. And you know, it's just not partisan. I mean, we are so quick to go partisan, but at the local level.
It's what it really is. And Jonathan Smucker is really good about this. He's a guy, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's down in Lancaster. He wrote a book called Hegemony, How To. It's basically like how to organize. But anyway, one of his big things that I've borrowed is that the real division isn't left, right. It's up, down. You know, it's 99% and 1%.
Yes. And one of the things, the most stark thing that I've learned, not as a, you know, running for commissioner, but having been back here and working in the region, is a real recognition, increasingly, I think, though, much more than it used to be, that our government at the state and federal levels do not understand how local economies work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just even in determining the size of what's rural, 500,000 population or less, oh, cut me a break, you know, or the...
You're saying that's too low or too high of a threshold?
It's way too high.
Yeah.
500,000 is considered, less than 500,000 is considered rural. The way that works is that those who are at about 500,000 are going to be far more sophisticated. And
right.
Far more
I got
resources.
You. A city of 480,000 is not a rural community.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Now I totally get you. I mean, I have a whole long spiel about this, that rural itself to me it obscures as much as it illuminates because, you know, people say Union County's rural. That doesn't really tell you that much about Union County because when you're here, it's really what I say is it's I don't have one word for it, though. I call it the patchwork. It's a patchwork of town. And farm and wild spaces. And so those different areas, you know, as you move around them, have very different local political issues. And people, you know, Dwayne and I have talked about this. You know, somebody said to him, you know, he lives near Catawissa. You know Dwayne, right?
Heisler? No, Dwayne Hill.
Yeah. Huh?
Dwayne Hill.
No, Heisler.
No, I don't.
Oh, you're going to love Dwayne. Okay. Anyway, Dwayne is doing a lot of organizing stuff, but somebody, he works for SCIU, but somebody was like, oh, hey, this is going over. I think they were like, this is going on in Altoona. That's near you, right? And he's like, what? That's like 2.5 hours from where I am. But, you know, the Philly and Pittsburgh people, it's all just a big rural flyover thing and they don't get it. And, you know, Taylor looked this thing up. I want to double check this, but Snyder County's number one employer is retail. Union County's number one employer is services. And I think he's in Northumberland, is still extraction and manufacturing.
That would sound right.
So those three counties that people tend to lump together as so similar have, and they are similar in some ways to the kind of culture thing we were talking about, but they have, you know, radically different local economies. And you know, so I use that as a little thing to pull out that, like, you know, we need at the state level, we need the people who want to be our allies on these kinds of things to understand, you know, that that rural is not rural as a category just doesn't help you that much to really understand this area. You know, it just distinguishes it from the cities, but it doesn't tell you much about, you know, what does it mean to organize rurally in Union County versus Northumberland County? Those are very different things.
It is. But that up down that you were talking about,
yeah,
I think is even more critical.
Yeah.
And having been, I've often said, geez, I wish I knew then what I know now. The policy that I worked on, policies I worked on at the federal and state local levels, or federal and state levels, and the programs that I was responsible for initiating or managing, really would have benefited if I had earlier been in the field and actually tried to make them work.
Mm-hmm.
Because this has been the most challenging job. Working at the local level and having change happen, positive change happen, is much harder than being a politician in Washington or at the state level, because
right,
you have to make it happen. You don't just dream it and say, oh, this is a good idea and let's get a couple of successes under our belt and call it a day. And that is often how it's thought about at the federal and state level. Making it happen at the local level is what it's all about.
Stacey Richards, for what matters most, from what matters most, make sure local matters.
I love it.
There you go. That's
local
great.
Matter. Local matters.
And then shorthand, because local matters. The because is important, because local matters.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I wish I had thought of it 2 months ago so you could put it on your literature.
Yeah, well when I run for re-election.
All right. Any last thoughts? Can people go out and vote on Tuesday?
Oh, please vote on Tuesday, no matter who you vote.
I know. I think we're both pulling for Aaron Jablonski for school board, Elijah Farrell in the 4th, board of Lewisburg. Any other elections people should?
I think those are the competitive ones besides mine.
Yeah. You know, I've been trying to figure out this Macy's Law, Marcy's Law.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be on the ballot now.
Well, it's going to be on the ballot.
But I thought a judge blocked it.
They're not going to count the vote. Until the court rules.
Do you have any wisdom about it? I've been trying to figure out because I sort of getting different things. I think I'm leaning mildly towards voting against it, but.
Well, I keep going back and forth on it, but you know, I was sent the videotapes of some of the hearings of the victims in Houston a couple of weeks ago. Spent a couple of hours listening to it, and that is moving me forward.
Well, and what I got from some people is we can do all this with laws, and the constitutional change is too broad for other things that haven't been anticipated.
These are in the books. This wouldn't be the worst thing to have it fail. But for the victims,
yeah,
it matters.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to vote yes.
Yeah. All right. We sort of buried the headline. Yeah. Stacey Richards, because local matters.
Thank you. Jordy,
2019.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, sure. Well, we can do it once a month once you're in office, and we can talk about
all sorts of things. We can have comments.
Do you know, you keep in touch with Shelby at all?
Not as much as I should.